Betty, your mother, they had started a relationship before he left Mule Country,
right?
As you call it.
Oh gosh, yes. Yeah, they were, and so
she knew he was coming to Tulsa to get a job and looking forward to moving to Tulsa then, right?
Yes, but in those days they didn't stay together. There was always a chaperone when she would come to Tulsa, that she stayed with Tom and Francis Leach is what I remember most of the time, and they looked after her.
And so that took a number of years then before they finally got married, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was 1940 before they married. So during the Depression, you just didn't strike out.
Well, then during the war years, was he with the Tulsa World? Did he get other employment?
He was there until August 15th, 1942, which is very interesting because he came to Tulsa August 15th. He started that career with Douglas in the war on August 15th, and the war ended on August 15th. And when the war ended, that place closed down. There was no more work there, not at first.
At Douglas Aircraft.
Right.
And what kind of work did he do at Douglas Aircraft?
He was the head of the photography department. There were over 20 people within his department, but that's how they communicated. This was before television, certainly before computers. As he said in a newspaper article in 2001, that there are pictures that he's so very proud of, that he had taken, that he had captured, that he had created throughout his life, but the very most important pictures were never really seen by the public. They were the pictures that showed people who had never been in a factory before how to put together parts for those planes of war, for the attack aircraft and for the bombers. They used photography to demonstrate on workbenches and on boards in front of their work areas how to assemble aircraft at Douglas.
So there were blueprints, but they couldn't read those blueprints, I suppose, and so your father took images, pictures, to show them how to assemble.
Exactly. There was no recording device more easily done than that. So it was very important.
So that was his full-time job then for Douglas, doing
yes.
that kind of work.
Yes, and that building is almost a mile long, and it has no windows because of security. And there's an interesting story. I'll go ahead and talk about that 35 millimeter. Mrs. Roosevelt came to Tulsa to inspect that plant, and I think it was 1940. She had ridden the train to Tulsa. My dad was asked to go by the paper to take a picture of her at the train station. And he took the very best equipment they had, which was an 8x10 view camera, 8 inches by 10 inches view. He said it was crowded, of course. Mrs. Roosevelt would attract a huge crowd. It was hot, and it took him a little bit of time to organize because he had to put that camera up with the tripod in the crowd, put the cape over his shoulders, focus her and compose that shot on the ground glass underneath the cape with a magnifying glass to get it sharp. And when he finally got ready to take the picture, he used flash powder to light the scene. So all of a sudden, poof, that flash powder goes off, and Mrs. Roosevelt looked at my dad and she said, "Oh, how quaint." She said, "You know, the boys back in Washington, D.C. have these new little cameras that go click, click." And so my dad went back to Eugene Lorton and said, "Mr. Lorton, we're going to have to get some 35 millimeter cameras." Mm-hmm. And by the way, that camera, my dad did wind up with that camera, and it's in the same collection that we donated to the University of Tulsa. There's over 700 cameras in that collection, but that sits there proudly, still available for a museum one day. TU could certainly have a camera museum.
And we should say that was Eleanor Roosevelt, who was the wife of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, President of the United States. So he was actually working for the Tulsa World then when he did that. Okay.
Yes.
So then how many years at Douglas Aircraft?
Till the end, from
till the war was over in 1945.
Yeah. It's one of the few questions that I ever really asked him was about the Second World War. And I asked him one day, because these aren't things that a kid asks his dad much. But as I got a little older and we were visiting one day, I said, Dad, I know you would love to have learned how to fly, as so many of your friends had learned and wanted to be in the Air Force. How come you didn't do that? And he said, well, I attempted it, but they told me, no, Bob, we need you more here in Tulsa. And so that's...
So he had offered to be of service during the war.
Yes.
And he was doing war duty, they felt. And he sure was, right?
Well, and you'll see it in one of the pictures. Samuel Boorstein was a very highly honored legal mind who had moved from Atlanta, Georgia in 1917 to Tulsa. And he loved photography. And he had met my father and thought a lot of him and got to know him so well. And there's a picture that he took of my dad and gave it to him in February of 1942. And on the back of that photograph is a handwritten note that says, the safety of a country today depends upon the inaudible shots of intrepid photographers. Well, that's a rather interesting statement, but as I look at it today, I think how he was getting my father ready to fight the war behind the lines, but at a very important place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Douglas War Factory. And as a lawyer could only put it in such poetic terms, an intrepid photographer with inaudible shots. And I'll speak more on Samuel Boorstein, because that story is also a continuing wonderful story.